Good afternoon from Peninsula Papagayo. You'll hear a couple of funny noises while I'm talking to you right now. One of them is, and the most obvious, is that I sound like I'm speaking from inside of a milk carton. Gotten some sort of a head cold in the last couple of days. All this playing in the ocean and diving and windsurfing, and I'm sorry for that. My less than radio announcer's voice normally has been downgraded a step or two
and whiny, so I apologize.
The other noises in the background, you'll hear the ocean probably. I did close the doors out onto the balcony to break the sound a little bit so that it wouldn't be too distracting, and then you'll hear the occasional birds and possibly even the howler monkeys skipping through and adding their 10 cents to what I have to say. I just wanted to talk to you very quickly about, not so much about the announcement that Borders is now in bankruptcy, going through bankruptcy proceedings, but more a response to the incredibly emotional response that this has prompted throughout the blogosphere and within the media and among writers and publishers, editors and agents. And I don't want to judge that reaction, except just to say that I'm a bit surprised at it. It's sort of like the Andrew Wiley charge quite a few months ago, and the Seth Godin decision to pull away and start working primarily through Amazon. These things are, they're maybe small barometers of what's happening, but our reaction shouldn't be so full of surprise, I don't think, because there has been a huge evolution that and we have all had the opportunity to see it and to welcome it and to experience it in a way that we maybe aren't, or at least that some of us aren't, that are clinging to an idea that perhaps is past its prime and frankly is not likely to come back soon. So my thoughts are wandering. I did want to just share with you of a post that I've put up into one of these many social media chats that I've participated in reacting to the news from Borders. And I wrote partway through a commenting section, and after someone's post, I think led to deriving from a news story about the Borders bankruptcy. I wrote, "Long before Gutenberg, we were telling stories. Long after Borders, we will still be telling stories. I believe the gyrations and somersaults in today's publishing industry are overdue and inevitable. More storytelling vehicles available today than ever before. Long live them, collect them, tell them, enjoy them, and live them." And I don't reread that to you now because I think it's so incredibly clever. It's not. And it isn't even intended to be as provocative as it was. I just want to remind people that storytelling is really the big picture here. Publishing, bricks and mortar stores, Borders, Amazon, all of these different pieces are part of this much bigger umbrella of storytelling. And you know, 500 years ago, Gutenberg gave us a whole lot of stuff to worry about and think about and consider, and it's affected us for half a millennia, and we've gotten used to it and comfortable with it. And the stores that sold print books had become a part of our ethos, a part of our consumption habits and patterns and appetites. We are going to see some huge changes, no question about it. The point is, there is a lot bigger picture here to focus on rather than just individual purveyors of books, publishers of books, editors of books, ways of telling stories. Today is an extraordinarily exciting time in part because there are so many ways for me, for you, for everybody to tell, share, consume stories. And I'm not just talking about the difference between a Borders and an Amazon or the difference between in digital publishing. I'm not even just talking about the fact that anybody and everybody can get onto the internet nowadays and share their stories and fact check their stories and build and aggregate. I mean, you've got tools like Broadcaster that I'm experimenting with right now that's just going to be, if this manages to stay afloat long enough to be to receive the sort of investments it should and needs to receive to grow and live long term, it is going to be an amazing, impactful new way of telling stories. Anybody and everybody out there, audio storytelling on the go with mobile apps, geotag stories so that when you're out there, it creates a whole new way of sort of becoming a flaneur or a tourist in our own worlds and to contribute to that great tapestry of stories. Others like Storify, which many of you have heard me talk about, an amazing deal with this extraordinary avalanche of storytelling, of information being produced, anyone and everyone. Everyone can publish their own stories now. The question is, how do we sort through it? How do we curate that? How do we preserve that? How do we make sense of that? And Storify is one of the tools that I've been using that's really clever and really interesting. Intercept is another one I've played with. I just want to quickly change gears for a second. Flip over to Wikipedia and look at the question of literature. Now, remember, I've been talking about storytelling. And I think storytelling is really a huge umbrella. But literature is what many of us claim to love, claim to try to produce, to teach. Literature, again, within storytelling, is a smaller area of storytelling. Literature is a funny word. Have you been a teacher of literature and obviously a student of literature and are hopefully, some would say, even maybe possibly at some points, a writer of literature? I'm intrigued by this word. That word comes from letters, from writing. In Wikipedia, it says literature. Now, you know, this is Wikipedia, but literature from the Latin literae, plural letter, is the art of written works. Literally translator means acquaintance with letters, as in art and letters. The two most basic written literary categories include fiction and nonfiction. That goes on to look at all these different components of literature. And talks about oral literature. And that's the distinction that I bring us here to think about. We talk about literature with this capital L as a sort of deal that the very best of writing aspires to, or the sort of this canonical way that we calling. And yet it is even a word that is derived from this question of writing stories. Let us remember that oral storytelling was there long before written storytelling. This is one of the most exciting things about what's happening. Not that it's a beautiful thing, the borders are struggling, but it's a sign of the times. We are now moving away from simply print to also oral storytelling in a way that we haven't really been able to or haven't been inclined to explore so abundantly, so richly, so enthusiastically, maybe since the advent of the printing press. And so while we're going through the tremors and aftershocks of decisions like borders to go into restructuring, let us also celebrate exciting opportunities available to us now. And I think chief of those we should be looking at practicing, exploring some of the new storytelling vehicles. I think oral isn't new, but the ways that we can plug it in and use it and the way that it gives a voice universally to people, at least with internet access and computers, and video storytelling, which we've seen transition the movie and film industry into a whole new place. I mean, the brunt of TV being produced now seems to have one foot at least in the reality camp, which is really, I think, largely a byproduct of the fact that more and more people are able to tell their stories through video, and that has helped drive the way that our programming appetites have gone. Movies are the same way. Borders has unfortunately transitioned now. We're going to see more of that, folks. It's no surprise. It's not something that we couldn't have anticipated. Now we have every reason to believe and understand and accept that it's happening. Let's look at all of the opportunities that are out there. It's an exciting time to be consuming stories, an even more exciting time to be telling stories. Let's make sure that we are taking advantage of all the opportunity and resources that are out there for us instead of things that are beginning to diminish or disappear. Thanks for listening to my ramble. Sorry it was so long. Now I can open up the window and hear the ocean splashing up on the beach again. Take care. Bye-bye.